Back in the building, TNT Hoop Season 3. Happy to be back with y'all. I'm Ansel Jackson here once again with my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend. Some know him as Quit Bucks, some know him as Slang, some know him as Quit Dollars.
You know I'm in the building, Quit Bucks in the building. Got my guy Ansel to the left of me. Ansel, what's good, baby?
Chilling, Quitty. I'm happy to be back. The season starts tomorrow night, kick off with the Lakers. Same game. And then we got Celtics Sixers in Wells Fargo Wednesday night. Should be a packed arena.
Yeah, it should be just be an interesting start to the season. I think this is gonna be the one of the best NBA seasons we've seen, if not the best. So I'm excited, man. I'm hyped to be back doing TNT Hoops for our season 3. Obviously we had the off season and then we had last year for the first 2 seasons, but you know, we get into the swing a little bit more this year, so I'm excited, man.
Yeah. So run us through some of the topics we got for today, for the first episode of Season 3, and then we'll get right into it.
All right, so first we're just going to, you know, we're going to touch on our top 8 seeds from, you know, both conferences, East and West, who we think are going to make the playoffs, teams that we think are going to flirt with the playoffs, you know, discuss all of that. And then we'll obviously pick our, you know, who we think is going to win both conferences, so, and then we'll get the champion, obviously the eventual champion. So then we have the most disappointing and the most surprising teams, some teams that, you know, will let us down or teams that, you know, may shock somebody.
Okay.
And then obviously we'll touch on some awards. We'll touch on some awards, you know, the ones that usually go around this time of year, the MVP, you know, most improved, defensive player of the year, coach of the year,
Brett Brown. Coach of the year, Brett Brown, calling it now.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
There it is. And, you know, we'll touch on like a leading scorer and, you know, things of that nature too. And then we'll end with some Eagles talk. We don't want to start with it this time because, you know, it's kind of somber in Philly right now. But, you know, we'll end with some Birds talk.
Yeah, and then we'll close it out after that. Just give y'all some updates on what we're going to go with Season 3, some of the contests and things we got lined up for y'all. But once again,
we got something cooking listening. Up for y'all.
Thank you, thank
got
you,
something
thank
cooking
you.
Up.
TNT Hoops Season 3, baby. Let's get it.
Gang.
Man, you know we about to let this cool spin for the intro.
TNT Hoops Podcast, Season 3, Episode 25. So, you know, first topic we got is the playoffs, who we think is going to the playoffs, 1 through 8, both conferences. So, yeah, so I'm going to let you start.
Yeah, we kind of did this for our summer episodes, our off-season episodes, episode 21, where Quitty and I did the over-unders for some of the teams. So we're going to finish that out, but as Quitty said, do it just for the top 8 in the East and the West. I think we'll start in the East. You want to start bottom to top or top bottom? It's up to you.
Let's go bottom to top.
Right.
Builds a little bit more suspense.
Cool.
As
so,
it goes through.
For the 8 seed, I got the Traitor and his minions, Jimmy Butler, with Miami. Originally, after the whole Jimmy Butler going to Miami thing, Quitty and I took the over in wins. Quitty also took the overs at 42.5. I think just with the culture that is already kind of in play there with Pat Riley, Spoelstra, guys like Deion Waiters, Jimmy Butler, Tyler Harrow, it's just a solid core, and especially in the weak East, like they definitely should be able to at least get that 8 spot, given all the acquisitions they made over the summer. What do you think?
I mean, you want me to give you what I think about all your seeds, or you want to go where did I have them?
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to do just like you go, I go. Or
I have them. I have them. Yeah, let's go. You go, I go. So
okay.
I go 8. So, yeah, I personally have the Heat a little higher. But at 8, I have the Bulls.
Okay.
I have Chicago making that. I don't know if it's really surprising because they've had young talent for, you know, the past few years now, they've kind of just been trying to get it all together with Zach LaVine and Markkanen, and now they just drafted that kid Coby White, who's looking pretty good, which will probably put Chris Dunn, who's actually not a horrible player. He could be a pretty good backup as your backup guy. And then you have some young talent there mixed in with Jabari Parker and
a lot of scoring on the Bulls. Like, the points is not going to be the problem for them.
Right. So, young team, a lot of energy. I have them at 8.
Okay. At 7, I have Atlanta. We didn't do the over-under for them, but it's set at 34.5. I think over, obviously, because I have them at the 7th seed. But I think with what Lloyd Pierce has down there, kind of trade, he really came on to his own in the second half of last year. Add Reddish, Hunter, Herter, and John Collins, and then you just kind of have a solid core around that. They can win a lot of games, I think, sneakily. They'll play defense, get up and down the floor. So I have them at the 7th spot.
Okay, I like that. At 7, I have Toronto. Okay. Established system, established coach. Obviously, they won the championship last year. They lost their best player, but I think Pascal Siakam takes a huge step forward this year. I think OG Anunoby, who was, you know, in and out of the lineup last year with injury, but I think he, you know, if he stays healthy as a consistent year, he takes another step for them. And then you have, you know, good championship-level guards and Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, who showed you, you know, they can make, you know, plays when they need to.
Yeah.
So I think that's just an established system. They have, you know, they have height with Ibaka and Gasol. I think they'll be a 7th seed.
Do you not worry about a championship hangover with them, though? Do you think they come out kind of with a chip?
No, yeah, I think I think they're such a well-ran organization that they're a consistent winner.
Yeah.
You know, they'll take a step back this year because you losing your best player isn't always obviously not ideal. But just with their established system, I don't think they'll fall out of playoffs completely. I think you have so many experienced guys there. They were the best defense in the league towards the end of the year last year. I just don't think they fall all the way out. So I don't think a championship hangover is going to be there because I think they're going to have that chip knowing that Kawhi left and people aren't expecting them to do, you know, anything compared to, you know, what they did last year, obviously.
Yeah, for the most part, I agree. What kind of not worries me, but with a GM like Musai Ujiri, he's not afraid to shake things up. So I feel like if things aren't going their way a quarter or more of the way through the season, like, he may not hesitate to get rid of a guy like Kyle Lowry, and doesn't mean they're going to fall out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he can make a move. Like, he's that type. You've seen, took the risk with Kawhi Leonard. You know, he got the 1 year out of him, but they got a championship. You know, he took the risk knowing Kawhi could leave after the season, but they got a championship out of it, you know, because they're an established system. So if something's going on, you know, during the year, who's to say he doesn't make a move to make them an even better team than they are now? You know?
I got you. So, at the 6th spot, I had Toronto, so that just is perfect since we kind of segued right into that.
Okay.
Has your over-under changed for their prediction? For,
so, what was the numbers?
When we originally did it, it was at 46.5. Okay. You took the over, I took the under. Now, it's at 45.5, so what do you think with just that game change?
I'll take the over.
Okay.
I'll say they win about 48 games. But then at the 7th seed, they'll probably be in the 46 range. I don't know. Yeah, they'll be around that. But
yeah, so they'll be pushing right now.
But yeah, they'll be around there. So you have at 6. At 6, I have Brooklyn.
Okay.
I think Kyrie just, you know, has something to prove. That, you know, that team is going to play with pride, a young team with a lot of young talent. Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie. You got Joe Harris shooting the ball. They just a team we saw, obviously, Sixers saw in the playoffs last year. And you had a guy like Kyrie, a dynamic player like Kyrie, when they had, you know, D'Angelo Russell playing that in that spot last year. You know, you probably upgrade with Kyrie in that spot now. So I think they'll be an interesting team. Obviously, they added DeAndre Jordan. You got Kevin Durant, you know, waiting, anticipating. So they just have a nice little, you know, vibe and aura going in that.
Kenny Atkinson also does a really good job of integrating, like, a new guard into the system. Like, you saw it last year when LeVert went down and he made D'Angelo the main guy. And then when LeVert came back, he's able to kind of plug him back in and be able to work Dinwiddie. So, like, working with three guards is just
his thing.
Yeah,
that's how they how they operate.
Yeah, so I think it will work out well for the Nets. At 5, I have Indy. Indy is set at 47.5. Hasn't really moved particularly from book to book. But given all the pieces that they have with Brogdon coming back, TJ Warren, you just saw Sabonis sign his extension 4 years, $78 million today. Miles Turner, Oladipo. His timeline is still questionable. I don't know when he's coming back, but I think
he's got cleared for 5-on-5 half court already.
Okay.
So he's a couple weeks away, maybe.
Yeah.
He'll be there. Like, he'll play. He has a chance to play, 65-70 games, so.
And he's one of those guys, too.
Like, he's a dog.
Yeah, he's a dog, and he's also a team guy. Is a little cliche, but he's such a glue guy to where you, like, guys are able to play around his kind of game. Like, he's not very demanding of the ball. And so I think it's just great for a team like Indiana that's still trying to find their identity. And Nate McMillan does a really good job with them. So, yeah, I got them at, I think, 48 wins is a fair assessment. I think I have them at the over. What do you think?
At 5, I have Miami. Okay. I think I like Miami a little bit more than you do. And what they're doing now is they're very versatile. They have Justice Winslow actually playing the point guard. You know, now Josh Richardson's gone, Tyler Johnson's gone. They don't have that ball handling. They put Justice Winslow at the one. You know, you have obviously Jimmy Butler playing alongside him on the wing, and then you can mix in, you know, Deion Waiters obviously is going crazy over there right now. He's not happy, but he's a talent on the wing. And then you have that kid Tyler Hero. I love his game. He plays like he belongs already. They play with some type of swag. You know, the Heat are always that team that's going to, like, bully you. If you hear, like, Josh Richardson talk about Spoelstra and, like, how that, you know, organization actually moves, like, how everything is in that system. Like, Josh Richardson explained a story how he had to make 70 out of 100, maybe 70 or 75 out of 100 pull-up jump shots. Like, he had to run to, like, the foul line.
This was after his workout on the off day.
Yeah, you heard this. Yeah, and he was telling me how he hit, like, 67, hit, like, 69, hit, like...
And Spoelstra just kept making him run after
you. You're still running. So, you know, they have a system that's established, and I think Jimmy Butler fits that so well. I saw him this preseason. He looks like he's in great shape. He looked like he lost a couple pounds.
Yeah, they're.
He looks like he's in great shape. So I think, you know, their whole system, they'll be in that, you know, 5-6.
You read a lot about that whole Pat Riley. So their conditioning, like, they apparently have the toughest condition in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, their offseason, like, a lot of guys, like James Johnson, didn't pass the conditioning test.
James Johnson, that's
coming
into
the training camp, and it's like that. They take it so seriously to the point you can't play until you meet all of these baseline, I guess, numbers that we have set for you. So
for sure,
he will always give teams run and be feisty. Definitely a team to look out for. And I think that's one of those give or take teams. I guess my pick was a little spiteful since Jimmy left. But at 4, I had Brooklyn. the case
Brooklyn
for them.
At 4. Okay, you got them high.
Yeah, the case for them is exactly what I said. That 3-guard set is scary. I think LeVert is really, really good. I think he's going to develop more. I think last year he was ending the year off, like, getting around that 17 range. Dinwiddie, sixth man of the year candidate. Just a bucket, knows how to play the game. Solid defender as well. Jared
Allen. Horrible defender, bro.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
horrible. He's a horrible defender, bro. For a bench. All those guards on the Nets, Russell, Dinwiddie, even LeVert.
Dinwiddie
can guard a little bit. Dinwiddie can't guard, bro.
He wasn't.
I mean, he can't guard. Solid. Go ahead, I ain't gonna kill your point, but
they got that. I think that's just a matter of opinion. But regardless, that team just has gotten better, like, as you said, like,
with Kyrie.
Yeah, with Kyrie.
Yeah, same. And everybody back. Obviously, Kyrie and then DeAndre Jordan. Yeah. Was the piece I said.
Right now, I think they're set at 44.5. We didn't really predict it.
So you'd probably say the over.
Yeah,
obviously.
I'll take the over since.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that too. I think I'm in 48 range, 48, 49. At 4, I have the Pacers of Indiana. Okay. I just love the Pacers. I love the Pacers, you know, same thing, the organization, their identity. You know, they're going to play defense, they're going to get stops, and they won't beat themselves. They don't turn the ball over, you know, and everything you said about Oladipo, he's just that. He's the type of superstar, you know, best player you'd like to have on your team because he's not too demanding, but he also wants the ball in that clutch situation, and he comes through more times than not just because you can see how well, you know, conditioned athlete he is. He can guard on, you know, the defensive end, and then he can come and score on the offensive end. So he's a guy I'd like to build around, and I think the Pacers adding Brogdon and bringing back all those guys that they, you know, have already had in the past, Miles Turner, Losing Bogdanovich may hurt a little bit, yeah. But I think Vic is ready to take, you know, even another step.
Brogdon Bogdanovich, which is it's valid.
Brogdon coming to take that role is it's something I'm comfortable with. And then they added T.J. McConnell, my boy T.J. McConnell. He'll be coming off the bench, yeah. But they got a nice little team over there with Sabonis and some of those guys. Yeah. So I have them at four.
Remember, they do have playoff experience. Like last time we saw Vic, really balling was against the Cavs. The
Cavs took them 7.
2 years ago. So like that, like they have a little bit of, I guess, I don't know what you want to call it, other than experience.
I mean, yeah, experience. They're battle tested.
Yeah. Thank you.
Who you have at three?
At three, I have the Boston Celtics.
So do I. So. You know how we feel about Boston.
Yeah, fuck Boston.
They replaced Kyrie with Kemba, and they replaced Al Horford with Enes Kanter.
Sweet.
So let's just say I'm comfortable with that. I think there'll be a matchup problem for a lot of teams. I think Enes Kanter obviously can score the ball, so he'll be, he'll fit in their system as far as like being able to score with them.
But they're not a matchup problem for anymore.
Us, because we're too big. Hopefully, that's how it works. But, they have a lot of guys that can create off the bounce. And Jaylen Brown, the Jason Tatum's, Kemba Walker, even Carson Edwards is showing some, coming off that bench. So let's be realistic with it. Marcus Smart looks a little better, too, right now, offensively. So
added the corner three into his game. He's actually reliable from that spot now. He's doing a turnaround, a look, John. Yeah, he's cashing.
As much as we hate him, we both got him at three. So they're a team to be respected. I think at the end of the day, I don't think they can beat the Bucks in the series, and I don't think they beat the Sixers in the series. Anybody else, I think they can give them a run. I even think Toronto will challenge them. But anybody else in the East, I think I'll take the Celtics over them right now, as today. But
okay, yeah, it was at 48.5. You took the under when we originally predicted. I took the over. Has that changed, or is that staying?
Yeah, I'll take the over now. I think just watching them in preseason, seeing what their guys can do. I obviously knew they have a lot of guys that can create, and that's important to have versatile guys that can guard multiple positions, but also be able to create on offense. And I saw how they do have those pieces still. They were obviously better without Kyrie, so maybe bringing in a guy like Kemba, might not be the player Kyrie is, but he's right there with him and maybe a better leader for those guys, So they seem like they genuinely like him too. So team chemistry, when a whole team brings in a lot of guys, kind of like the Sixers did, and brings in a lot of guys, everybody wants to make it work, So I think they're at that stage and they have a good mixture of youth and experience. So
Number two, this is kind of gonna spoil, I guess, the number one seed, but I have the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay, so we have the same. We can just talk about it like that. So Bucks, Sixers. We have the Sixers at the one seed. I think we're feeling good about that. Let's talk about the Bucks first, I guess.
For the Bucks, I think things get a little tougher this year for them. Giannis is obviously going to improve, but at the same time, people have a whole year of film to build off of now, and they've lost Brogdon, who's
their best ball handler, essentially.
Integral piece to that team. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit back, just kind of, I forget who they pick up as the point guard spot to fill that.
Who the Bucks?
Yeah, we'll figure that out. But
they didn't grab anybody to play the point. I mean, they still have George Hill, Eric Bledsoe, like those are the ones. But they, I don't think they grab. Yeah,
they might not grab anyone. I was gonna say Ricky Rubio, but he's somewhere else.
He's with the Suns.
Yeah, he's with the Suns, but it's just tough because when you have a guy like Giannis, like you're always going to be in contention to Budenholzer. Obviously built a system around him to where they're built to win games in the regular season. They're built to just wear you down. You have both the Lopez brothers now.
Which I want to see. They got Robin Lopez over. I don't think they grabbed a guard.
I swear they picked up a guard. But
well, yeah, I agree with all of that. They can pace and space. With Giannis, he's trying to improve the jumper. He said he wants to be able to be able to stand on the 3-point line and be respected, be able to make catch and shoot shots. He said he's 60% of himself. He said he wants to get, obviously we're going to see him closer to that 100%. He said he wants to, expand his game, think more like a guard than a big.
So
I think he'll be looking to try to find himself a little bit this year, which it could help him, Or it could hurt him, you know, it could hurt him a little bit just because he's trying to find himself a little bit. It could be a year where he takes a step back or even stays the same.
Yeah.
But if, you know,
as long as you're trying to expand your game, expand, I don't think any team is going to
I've seen him shoot, you know, fades now, you know, in the mid post, you know. They said if Giannis adds, well, I said if Giannis adds a post game, you know, that can, that'd be a, such a, that would help him so much just because in the half court, If you're able to overpower somebody or, you know, go around them with your, you know, speed, because he
takes
has a combination
lot of energy.
Of both.
It takes a lot of energy. By the fourth quarter, just like you saw it last year, the Raptors.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can't be going full throttle at all times. So if he adds that post game, because even in the half court, you see him now in the playoffs in the half court, they'll try to get an action from him going downhill. Yeah. And if they can't get that, he's just trying to create by himself, which takes so much energy. But back to their team as a whole, I think they have pieces. I think they have shooters. They added Korver. They added Wes Matthews. Obviously, George Hill, you know, is an experienced guard. Eric Bledsoe got paid last year, an experienced guard.
Chris Middleton,
obviously. Yeah. I think they'll be an interesting team as far as how good they were last year. And I think it'll be one of those things where we feel like they got so much worse, but they'll still be in that two seed just because of, you know, who Giannis is as a player.
Dante, too. I mean, not for nothing. Not just
DiVincenzo.
Yeah, just getting an old guy. But, like, there's a bunch of guys that can play, and I think that's important. And then just to close, once you have a guy like Giannis, you'll always be in the upper echelon of, like, the teams in the NBA. Like, you'll win you games that you're not supposed to win.
On paper, yeah. That's what it seems like. All right, so let's go to clap your hands, everybody. Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah.
Number one team, I think, and this isn't even biased from us. I think
feeling confident this year, man.
With the additions, starting lineup is the biggest in the NBA by far. Smallest guys.
6'6", a solid 6'6".
Yeah, solid 6'6". We have a bench that is an actual bench now, just a bunch of grown men that I feel comfortable if maybe one starter's in the game or even no starters are in the game.
Right. I'm glad you said men, though. Like, that's a – and that's important, you know. Not when we say – obviously, in the NBA, we always forget, you know. When you have some of these guys like Furkan Korkmaz and Justin Anderson and dudes that you're just trying to squeeze minutes in for, they haven't had that real experience. Like, now you can put a guy like, you know, Kyle Quinn in the game.
Yeah.
Mike Scott. You know, guys that are – they're men. James Ennis, they've battle tested, like we've said earlier. You know, you could put them out there.
You don't win championships with boys, man.
You can't, yeah, you can't. You'll get bullied every time. You'll never win that battle. So the fact that we, you know, added pieces on the bench, you know, this Thibault kid that we grabbed from, you know, Washington, although he's a rookie, he's 22. You know, he played 4 years in college. So the rookie we got now, like, I love that pick from
Defense Elfrey. Doesn't have an age. That's the one thing I've learned. Like, defense is a mentality and it's positioning. And once you know how to do that, like, you can do it at a high level for a very long time. And he's obviously capable of that.
Like, and we've seen in the preseason, like, he's a kid where he could be a premier defender in the league from day one.
Yeah.
Like he competes, you know. He has quick hands. His instincts are just God-given, like, you're not taught that. You have it or you don't.
Just, like, even when we talked about, like, getting around speed, but when he's behind guys, like, what, like, just being able to take the ball from guys, like, I think it was, like,
Matisse Thybulle, like, is who we're talking about right now. He's kind of, you know, kind of turning into, like, our son right now, the young guy in town.
If you don't know, you will know soon. He will be the guy hassling your best player on a night-to-night basis for a stretch.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to put him in, and he'll get steals, and you have Ben running out in transition, and it'll feel like that up-tempo flow just because, like, we're literally pressing teams in the preseason in the full court.
Well, like, I'm saying, like, in the half court, it feels like a press, too, because there's so much length, and so, like, your passes have to be so crisp and so on point in every situation.
Right, and this is the bench. You know, we're talking about the bench right now. I'm talking about Five. I'm talking about Mike Scott. I'm talking about Ennis. We haven't even touched the star lineup.
Yeah, because when those guys fill in, that's what's important. Like, the stars aren't playing the whole night, but when those, like, when you take Horford off the floor.
All right, let's touch on that. Let me tell you, let's touch on that. Let's stay structured. So, you know, the knock that everybody's going to say Horford and Embiid, right? How are they going to fit? You know, how are they going to fit together? So how are they going to play? How would you say they're going to play? I think Brett has already shown that he's going to stagger those guys even more than we thought he would. You know, they'll barely play together. Probably the end quarters. You know, probably obviously the start of halves. But well, the beginning of halves and the ends of halves, but they'll be staggering, you know, other than that. So how do you think, you know, that's going to work?
So when they are on the floor together, like, it's just a simple, not a simple high-low, but, like, you're never going to have them, like, on the same side of the floor. Like, and I think that's just simple basketball. But, like, when you do, like, you can even bring them both to, like, the those high elevator screens. Like, they, you got to think, like, we've played bigger guys with Embiid before. And Horford's a guy that's able to stretch the floor. He understands spacing. He's a veteran. Like, so he's never going to put himself in situations where it's like, damn, like, we look so clogged up. Like, Horford's just a very, very, very smart basketball player. And I think we're going to learn that over the course of the year. And I even think, like, you see how what they're doing with Brook Lopez. Like, sometimes you can have him kind of camped out, and he can make the right play. Like, I've seen Horford, like, not put the ball on the ground, but he can make the right pass. Like, he's a good basketball player. So I think in those key stretches, it's going to be fine with those two.
Right. So this is something that – this is what I wanted to say about that situation with Horford and Embiid and people that say they will struggle playing together. It's weird because if you look at the two, they're not – big, slow-footed dudes. No. Like, they're bigs that are versatile, can do multiple things on both ends of the court, can guard multiple positions, and can score from a... Obviously, Embiid can score from a, you know, an array of different... You know,
all three levels on the court,
but all different spots and all different ways. You know, Horford can make plays, so these two can play together. I think in the half court, you know, against, like, a man, you know, you maybe dive Horford to, you know, the foul line and do that high-low action with Embiid. That'll work. Obviously, Horford can space all the way out to the three-point line.
And he can pass. They both can pass. Like, they both show the ability to pass. So they can either be... Oh my,
you can space them out to the three-point line. And then against... teams have been playing zone. You know, when they're all in the court together, teams have been playing zone just because we're so
too
big.
It's too much length.
We're too big. You know, so we'll always dominate teams inside. So when teams play zone, one thing I think is a knock right now, and we have to, you know, get this together, is outside shooting. We shot like 31% or something like that in the preseason from three. We need Josh Richardson hitting shots. We need Tobias Harris hitting shots. And I think that's the reason why we're trying to, you know, mix Furkan Korkmaz in the mix a little bit, just because he can make an outside shot. But we're going to need, you know, Mike Scott's and these guys to make threes, because without JJ out there, when Embiid gets that ball on the block, teams may, you know, they may live
They're gonna
with
collapse
that double team. They may live with that double team and make Ben a shooter, make, you know, Tobias but a shooter, make Al Horford a
good
shooter.
For people understand that's good for us. Like, if you want to make us get comfortable with that this early in the season, like, eventually, like, so yeah,
no,
we may start off around the 30% range, but, like, eventually they're going to start to fall. We have, you know, like, I think Josh Richardson, hey, he's shown the ability to shoot 35. Yeah,
36, that's all you need.
Same thing with Tobias. And, like, Ben, like, I'm probably going to be low 30s this year.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. But, like, the fact that, like, I think that's good. Like, that's great for us. Like, make us knock down shoot, not in a sense, but, like, force us
but
to be
teams,
consistent
the
shooters.
Thing is, the knock is, and then we'll get into
the West, know, yeah.
The West. The thing with that is teams will still take that 10 times out of 10. You know, doubling Embiid on the block. Once Embiid gets on the block, force him out a little bit, make him make a pass, and make Tobias Harris have to knock down a three, as opposed to Joel Embiid posting up, or, you know, just...
Yeah, but we're not the Rockets. We're not going to shoot 60%, like, but, like, eventually you're going to get beat off the dribble. Like, you're not just going to make Ben shoot threes. Like, they tried it last. Like, it's just, you know what I mean?
You still got Tobias Harris, who will be matched up on smaller guys now, because he's playing the three. You know, they'll put guards on him because you have Ben. It's just everybody's so big, and then every team will put their point guard on Richardson, but then you have to match up with Ben and Tobias, who are two 6'9", 6'10 guys, you know, your wings. So it's going to be tough to match up with us.
And just to close your point, I think that's the best problem for us to have. Like, like I said this before, like, if teams have to figure us out before we figure them out, like, basketball always go your way, like, late in the games. Like, so, like, say by the third or fourth quarter, it's like, all right, like, we've kind of figured out what we want to do the Sixers. By then, it's too late because, like, you've been spending all game figuring out, like, how to game plan and keep us off the floor. You've kind of got out of what you came into the game wanting to do.
Right.
But I'm excited.
For sure. We'll obviously touch on the Sixers more. So
yeah, we'll double back a little bit later.
Throughout the year. But let's move to the West. At 8, San Antonio. I believe you do too, right?
Yeah, San Antonio.
So, you know, experienced team, not much to say about the Spurs. You know, they got two guards coming back, Lonnie Walker and DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
Who will be two good players, two 6'5", 6'6", guards that can score from all three levels. dynamic, can guard.
Derek White, too, had a big playoff game. Derek White, of course, Nuggets,
yeah. And you got DeRozan, you got Aldridge, and you got, you know, three-point shooting.
Yeah. Still got Bellinelli. Yeah. Rudy Gay still there, right?
Rudy Gay still there.
Yeah. So it's just
Patty Mills.
It's just, yeah. When you have basketball, that's another team of grown men. It's going to be tough to keep them out of the playoffs because everybody's there with the same mindset, same goals. I mean, as you'll see, like, I don't have the Mavs in my list just because the West is so crowded, but that's one of the main reasons as to why. Like, if I had to take a just guy by guy, like, yeah, I like Luka and Porzingis as a talent more than any guy on the Spurs, but you got to think at the end of the day, it's Pop and 12 guys that have all been in a plethora of NBA games.
That's true. So, okay, so what teams do you think will be flirting around that 8, 9, you know, 9, maybe to 11 spot? Because, you know, that's always so tight. Like, that'll probably be separated by two, three yeah. games. So
the news today with the Zion injury really hurt because I thought the Pelicans were definitely going to be that 8-9 range. But him missing the first, 6 to 8 weeks, so that's 13 games, maybe more.
Yeah, around there.
That's just, I don't know. It's kind of hard. I don't think you guys are going to be above 500 after that, especially in the West. And then the Mavs.
Kings. You feeling the Kings a little bit? I'm feeling the Kings around that area too. Just Buddy Hield. He wants his money. You know, De'Aaron Fox. I'm huge on De'Aaron Fox. Like he's gonna be a player. He's shown it.
Fastest point guard in the NBA.
Speed kills. You know, he'll always be a productive player. And then they just have young pieces and Bagley and, you know, Bogdanovich. So they'll be, you know, in the mix. But I think, obviously, like we said, the Spurs will be 8. So at 7, I have the Warriors.
Okay. Golden State. As do I.
Yeah, the Warriors at 7, too. Yeah. So Golden State will be 7. You know, you still have Steph Curry, D'Angelo Russell, who will be a creative, you know, high-scoring, prolific, dynamic backcourt. Don't know if Klay's coming back. That's, you know, I don't think you rush him back, but I think, you know, Steph Curry is going to go like crazy this year as far as scoring the ball. I think those young guys around him, Jordan Poole, Damian Lee, Eric Pascal, Mari Spellman, they're all going to, you know, start finding their niche. Glenn Robinson with Steph, you know, Draymond. Yeah. And, obviously, they'll be staggering D'Lo and Steph. So I think they'll find their footing here as they get healthy with Willie Cauley-Stein coming back. And they'll be a team that's just, you know, respected. And they'll, just like the Raptors, being the seventh seed in the East, I think the Warriors will be that team that, you know, lost essentially their best player. But,
So I flirted. I flirted with the 6th and 7th spot. Like, I had, it was tough for me. Like, I think it's going to be all separated by a game or so. I ended up with Golden State here strictly off the fact that I think it's going to take them a little bit defensively to figure it out because they're going to be really small.
Very small. Very small. That's one. They need Willie Cauley-Stein back and Kevon Looney strictly off that fact. Yeah. But when they, like I said, once they get healthy here, they'll be a team that can get hot any night and, you know, shock you on your home floor and then, you know, protect their home floor. So
yeah, it's just buckets, man. Like, I'll be brief, but like when you have guys like D'Lo and Curry just off the dribble and just working around screens, and Curry off ball is probably the best guard in the NBA. So I mean, it's definitely. So it's just you have two guys that can pass, willing passers, and that can shoot that shit from anywhere. So like that will always just put you in position to win games. And we really don't know. Like, for all we know, like, they could just be hot and end up in the 5 seed, and that's very likely with the Warriors. The 6, I have Portland, again, separated by a game. Over under right now is a 46.5. Really just started at 44. But I think Dame and CJ, another year under their belt. Hassan Whiteside's going to be a lot better than people think, in my opinion. Solid lineup. Again, Rodney Hood. He started to, like, be the Rodney Hood from Utah before he went to Cleveland and had his just stints around the league. Just a veteran team that went deep into the playoffs last year, and I think that have nothing but to want to improve and get better. And I think they're just going to be consistent throughout the year. That's why they landed the 6. What do you think?
Yeah, 6. This was tough. 5 and 6. I was going back and forth with Portland and Utah, but I actually have Utah at 6. I'm not as high on Utah as most are. I think Conley, and well, I was, you know, earlier in the summer when I saw the acquisitions, they got Bogdanović too, right?
Yeah.
They got Bogdanović. Obviously have Ingles, you know, Conley, obviously to go along with, you know, young Donovan Mitchell, who's looking like a rising star in this league. But I just think Utah, their backcourt with Conley and Mitchell will just be, they're going to be too small. Like, those are guys that, you know, they'll be the Steph Curry, D'Angelo Russell type backcourt, or the Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum type backcourt, but that doesn't win.
Yeah, like, and they lost Crowder too, which is a bigger loss than people think.
And Conley can help Mitchell, but Mitchell hasn't shown the ability to be efficient. You know, efficient to, like, some of these teams that, you know, can be ahead of them, or I see being ahead of them, I just think their guard play and their best guys are better than, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley. I don't think you get much scoring out of Rudy Gobert. You obviously, you don't. Ingles is, can give you, you know, a night with, you know, a couple threes, and he can really, you know, handle the ball and make some good passes. He's a good basketball player, but is that really competing with a LeBron James? You know, is that competing with even like a Damian Lillard and a CJ McCollum combination? Like, I don't see them being as high as, but I see them being a, you know, team that gets stops.
Yeah.
You know, they can guard at pretty much every position, and I think that's why they'll be respected and be a sixth seed in the West. But I don't see them in that 2-3 range like some people do.
That's why I had Utah at 5 and Portland at 6. Only reason I had them ahead of Portland is just because of the defensive aspect.
Defense.
Of it.
And
guys,
I think,
like Royce O'Neal, they have enough guys with length that if they get on a stretch of games, like, that's just tough to play up in Utah. So
yeah, I got Portland at 5 just because I think every year with Dame and CJ, you know, they'll keep getting better. You know, they're in their primes now. I think there's teams ahead of them that are, they won't be as high as they were last year just because of the emergence of the Los Angeles teams. And obviously teams I want to mention, you know, moving forward here, but I just think Portland will be that 5 seed. You got Dame, CJ, you know, Rodney Hood coming back, who had a good playoff. Hassan Whiteside will be, you know, good in the mix with, you know, Nurkic when, you know, they're all back and healthy. So I think that's a very solid team out there. They have good guard play off the bench too. Watch out for that kid, Simons, the young kid, Anthony Simons. Younger dude, but he'll get some playing time this year, and he can go a little bit. So I got Portland at 5.
Okay. Yeah. So bottom four, pretty similar. At 4 for me in the West, though, I have Denver, a team that a lot of people have really high just because they're the one seed last year in the West, and I bumped them down. I think simply because the West has just improved. The top three, Clippers, Lakers, Houston, have just all gotten better. I'm never going to put structure on what you did last year over talent, over superstar talent at that.
Okay.
I do love just the fact that Michael Porter is now back in the mix. We finally get to see him play after only seeing high school tape, really, in, what, 2 Missouri games. Beasley's great guy off the bench. And Jamal Murray's streaky, but... expect some growth out of him. Jokic is overrated, and I'm a little spicy just because they always compare him to Embiid, and I don't think it's close. But
they don't compare him. They say he's better. Everybody says he's better. Every list that's came out preseason has Jokic as the best center in the league, and I just don't see it as far as...
That's just that people just not liking
him. He's very good. Like, he's a great player. Yeah. He's not Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
He's not Joel
Embiid. Yeah, there's
both sides of the court matter.
Yeah.
But at 4, I have the Lakers as we speak today. It's tough because I think the Lakers are a team that can be as low as a 6 seed, but they can be as high as a 2 seed. You know, I just think they can range anywhere in there. It's just because it's a shaky team. Like, you have the talent. It's all there. But there's going to be a phase where they have to learn to play together. They have all guys that have never played together. Like, this is...
4, Quiddy?
4. Right now, I have them at 4. I don't know where you have Lakers. I have them at 4. I think there's going to be a time they have to figure it all out. You got 2 superstars that you're going to be asking a lot out of. Like, yes, it looks all pretty in the preseason because they played the Warriors they played the Warriors backups and, you know, these young kids on the Warriors trying to find their way in the preseason. They had all these highlights and everybody's thinking, okay, they're going to be the craziest team ever. Listen, they're about to be playing. They're about to get everybody's best shot every night. And you have an aging superstar, LeBron, who I think is still the best player in the world and going to be in that top three MVP race. But you're asking him and Anthony Davis to do so much. Anthony Davis hasn't shown a history to stay healthy for 82 games. He's the numbers show he's going to miss, even if it's load management or just getting hurt, the numbers show he's going to miss a certain amount of games this year. Can they, do they have enough to hold up, you know, when he's not in the lineup? I think there's going to be pockets in the season where they may struggle. Like I said, there may be periods where, you know, they have to figure each other out early on in the season. LeBron's teams, even his championship ones, have shown to start slow in seasons, and the seeding doesn't actually matter as long as they, you know, get in. I think they'll win a lot of games. You know, to be a 4 seed in the West, you have to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
But I have them at the 4 seed right now. That's just for how I'm feeling.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get into a lot. I have the Lakers a little bit higher later, but at the 3 seed, I have the Clippers.
Okay.
Obviously, Clippers and Lakers play tomorrow night, but all these teams are going to be in that 55-plus win range. I think it's going to be a bloodbath kind of at the top just because when you have talent, I always go back to talent, but like now you, the Clippers are incredible and they've added Kawhi Leonard. And you know what I mean? Like, I think the only reason I have them at 3 is because I know Kawhi's not going to play 82 games. And so I don't know how many games they win when him and PG aren't on the floor within the first 10 games where PG's not supposed to play. But I know that that is going to be an issue for the Clippers. And so an issue for a top three team, it doesn't really matter because they're still going to be blowing teams out more times than not. But
okay.
Yeah, I have them at 3, around 56, 57 wins, so the over. What do you think?
At 3, I have the Rockets.
Okay.
I have Houston at 3. Obviously, you have James Harden, Russell Westbrook. You know, two MVPs playing together now. You know, we talked about this. We tell everybody knows about the Houston team. Their team is pretty much established in what they are now. Mm-hmm. They're just adding Russell Westbrook in there, the dynamic, you know, point guard. You know, probably entering. He's in his prime, but probably about to go on a downfall as far as his athleticism.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to have to figure out his game a little bit more as how he's going to be effective in the half court.
Yeah, the mental prime is.
Yeah. So playoff time. So, I think they'll be a team that's very interesting, very, very up-tempo. They'll score a lot of points. James Harden's going to score a ton of points this year again. I think just adding Russell Westbrook, a guy he wants to play with, and, you know, he wants to succeed with. You know, they generally like each other. And, you know, that's a factor in,
yeah,
you know, how team environment runs. So, I have them high at 3.
Yeah.
I think they'll be a team that's in the mix and right there to, you know, standing there to win the Western Conference. They'll be have something to say about who wins the Western Conference at the end of the year. You know, they're the only team, you know, to give Golden State a run for their money. So, I have Houston at 3.
Yeah. Okay. I have so my last two shakeout, Houston 1, LA 2. Reasoning for that, the reason for Houston at 1, I think for all the points and reasons you said, but I think that is a lot more effective in the regular season. Like, I think this team is perfectly built for the regular season just because what team wants to deal with James Harden and Russell Westbrook all night long? It's just like even the good teams are going to struggle with them just because like it's regular season basketball, you know what I mean? Like you're not game planning 2 or 3 days just for, you know, I mean, for a 7-game series against them. So it's just, that's tough to beat, and it's tough to beat energy, which Russell brings, and a bunch of buckets just to almost simplify it. And Houston just shoots the shit out of the basketball too. So if Russell Westbrook can even be close to what they need from him from 3-point line, like I think they just need him to be like 33%. If someone's
that's too high for him. That's high for a lot of guys, especially like volume guys like Russ. Like Russ would be like 28 range. He'd be like 28 to 30. Like that's just what he is.
I think he can get to like 32, 33. But like I think
if he gets that, they'll be even higher than
I'm at 1. So. But I just think with that offense is just gets guys a lot of wide open looks, and I think this is kind of going to what I've been almost requesting from Russ, I think, just with Harden, he's going to have to learn to play a little off ball, which is cool. Like, so I think that we're going to see that.
All right, so yeah, my 2-1, I have Denver at 2. We talked about them already. I think Denver just is going to be a team that wins a lot of games. Mm-hmm. Once again, a team that brought back everybody. Like what I said, Jokic is great. Like, I can't even deny, like, the way they play, they excel in transition because they have a 5-man that can push the ball, which is so unorthodox. And then they have guys that can create off the bounce, and they got guys that can shoot, you know, with Barton, Beasley, yeah. And now adding Michael Porter Jr., who he looks like he has it. Like, I don't know how healthy he's going to be. He hasn't proven to be durable, you know, in his basketball career so far. But he's, the way I watch it, what I've seen from him in preseason, he's shown that he's one of those guys that just has it. You know,
he fits. He looks like a gamer. He belongs.
He's a gamer. So, I like them. Obviously, Jamal Murray emerging. You know, Gary Harris. I like them at 2. Okay. And then at 1, I have the Clippers.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised. You have the Clippers at 3.
Yeah, I have the Clippers at 3. I mean, and just like we said, like, this is very volatile. The Clippers can, all these, like, these 3 are just shots in the wind because we don't know how things are going to look until we actually see them. But, like, I can't put them over the Lakers just because I think LeBron is a lot more motivated to just be the top dog in the season. Like, that just means something to me. Like, I think that you just kind of have to put him above, especially in being the better team in LA. Right. Like, I think he cares about little shit like that.
So, I just think, I think LeBron's the best player in the world right now, but I think the load he's going to have to carry is way more than what Kawhi's going to have to carry, and I think that would be Kawhi and Paul George and that whole, I think they're a deeper team right now. I think they have more guys that are equipped to play in today's NBA.
Yeah.
And they're, like, you know, more dogs, younger guys. I mean, the Lakers grabbed a lot of names.
Yeah.
You know, I think with, like, Dwight Howard and Quinn Cook. Danny Green and, you know, Avery Bradley, just names. Like, the Clippers have actual dogs. Like, Paul George is going to miss the first, you know, little 10 portion games here of the year. And I don't think they'll really miss a beat because they have Kawhi Leonard and they have all dogs around them. Yeah. Like, I can run down the list of the team, but they're a deep team.
And trust me, I agree. So I think here's my caveat. The Clippers would beat the Lakers in the series. That's the biggest thing I want to get people across to people. For the regular season, I think the Lakers would be higher. But if in a 7-game series, like I was arguing with my roommate,
Scooby. We'll talk about that later then, because, I mean, that's what our predictions are going to be for, you know, who we think is going to win.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, so we already have our 8, so yeah, we'll jump right into it. So the champion, that's a perfect segue I have, is the Los Angeles Clippers.
Okay.
Simply for that, just because I think it's dangerous when you have 2 of the best defenders in the world manning your wings, and you can kind of, so you have to think that they're going to be playing the Lakers in the conference finals. Like, they have 2 guys they could throw LeBron James. No other team in the history of LeBron James' career has had 2 guys that actually can not deal with him, but, like, you could put on LeBron and be comfortable.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. And then, like, I know the AD problem is, like, all right, who are you going to put on AD? And I think Montrezl Harrell and then whatever guy's not on LeBron is weak side with AD.
They'll make a move, too. Like, yeah. Jerry, like, they'll make a move during the year. If they need rim protecting or they need to be more versatile,
it just won't be Zubac. Like,
they'll make a move.
Yeah. And they have Jermichael Green and Pat, like, I don't know.
They got pieces. The team makes sense. The roster makes sense.
People underestimate this whole Pat Bev. Like, a guy like that, like, he's going to bring the energy. Like, people thought, like, the Lowry and Van Vliet thing was,
yeah,
bro.
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, you're just so much more comfortable knowing, okay, I have Paul George on my left side, I got Kawhi Leonard on my left side, you know, and I got Montrezl Harrell, who's a dog. But, like, you're so much comfortable being a top, like, leading the defense, being a point of defense when you have that. And you already know he has that.
He loves to hound people, bro. Like, so he's going to be taking more chance. Yeah,
so at your guard, you missed the kid, Shea, SGA, but you still have Lou Williams, who can score 30 points for you. Like, and Shammy can shoot the ball. So it's just a mixture of guys. I actually think the kid, Jerome Robinson, you know, may turn out to be a player, too. So, yeah, I got the Clippers at 1.
Yeah.
You have so winning the West. I mean, my Western Conference pick. I'm jumpy about it. Like, I think it's going to be Lakers, Clippers. I think that's going to be Western Conference Finals. I think that's just kind of how it's going to go. They're 2 best teams. I think when it comes to about winning a series, like, I don't see many people slash teams being able to compete with LeBron James in a playoff series. I think the Clippers will be the team that could, but I really can't give you like who's yeah. gonna win it's the just, West as far as those two. And I think I have them winning the West. Yeah. So, and in the East, my Eastern Conference winner is the Sixers.
Yeah, I have the same thing. Runner up is Milwaukee. But for the West, like, I guess the only reason I have to have Houston as my runner-up because I had them at the one seed and the Clippers at the three seed. So, like, there's no way. But we don't know. Like, and that's the best thing about the NBA. Like, the NFL,
this year.
Yeah, this year.
You're the Warriors, we knew. Although we were witnessing greatness, and I love, like, y'all say I'm a Warriors fan, but I just love witnessing greatness like that. Like, we saw probably...
That's the best 5-year run of our lifetime.
And that team that won, 16? 16, they won 16-1 in the playoffs with KD's first year. Like, it's going to be hard for us to see a team that dominant again, you know? So, you know, with him leaving.
But at the same time, thank you to Kawhi and PG for breaking all this shit up because it could have.
I mean, bro, yeah, I guess both of them.
If Kawhi went to the Lakers, we would have been in another stint of this shit. Mm. We've just been dealing with it probably for another 7-8 years.
And if he would have did that, that would have been crazy. It's crazy because he was supposed to.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, All right, you want to get into the awards?
No. So we got two more things. Most disappointing team and the most surprising thing, and then we'll do a little commercial break and then get back at y'all with the awards. But
okay, so disappointing. Y'all kind of heard, you know, how I was looking at it. I think Utah is going to be that team that's everybody's kind of big on. I don't see them as great as everybody else. So I think as great as everybody sees them to be. So I think they'll be a disappointing team, the most disappointing team in the league, along with other teams I wrote down, like the Pistons. I think that they're a team that expects to make the playoffs.
Is it a disappointment, though, if you think they're going to suck ahead of the season?
Right. You think they're going to suck?
Yeah.
They have Blake Griffin. They have Andre Drummond. They have Derrick Rose, Reggie Jackson. They have players. I mean, they have players and a good coach. I mean, they're projected to make the playoffs, I think, right?
Yeah, but that's why we do our TNT.
All right, well, yeah, I got Utah, and then I wrote teams on like the Pistons. So who do you got being disappointed?
I approach it as just given the expectations, I think the Mavericks.
But then I can say the same thing to you, though. Like, I don't think the Mavericks are going to be that great. Like, I think the Mavericks are going to be exciting. It's point guard in Luka Doncic. It's point four that can so smooth.
There'll be fewer exciting moments than people think. I think it's a good combo, Luka and Porzingis. But I think at the same time, I hate to even take preseason into account, but like they just didn't really understand how to kind of click together. Porzingis isn't a big screen and roll guy. Like he doesn't really love.
He's a pick and pop.
Pick and pop or
screen and get that switch and then try to score on you from the elbow. That's how he plays.
But you can see when Luka was motioning him over to do it. Like,
They'll figure all that out. But yeah, like you said, there's going to be moments like that throughout the year. So I don't even see them being, they won't really be this. I see what you're saying, but as far as some people are very high on them,
like a 7 seed in the West, which is wild. But it's the most surprising team, and then I'll close out. It would have been the Pelicans. Pre-Zion, because I think would you be surprised if they were the 60 in the West? Like if Zion was fully healthy?
I'd definitely be surprised. I think they have a lot of young talent. They'll be exciting, but to win games,
it, I guess would be a better question. Like you could see that team like with Zoe, Drew, Zion.
Would that be them being surprising?
Yeah, because like, the number one pick in the draft last year. That one change.
So that would be your most surprising team?
It would have been, but I think now it's just going to be San Antonio. I think a lot of people just kind of forget about them, and now they have some interesting guys. Like, I think a lot of people are into, like, DeJounte Murray. I think Lonnie Walker is another guy who's just a big personality. People are going to kind of flock towards those two guys' game. If they do pan out, so like, that's kind of my crap shot. What do you think about your most surprising?
I think I have the Bulls.
Okay.
You know, obviously you see I have them in the playoffs. So
bunch of buckets.
I think there'll be a team that'll just win games. Like, there'll be a team that you don't want to see, like, even like a top dog, like the, you know, Clippers or Sixers or the Bucks or, you know, the Lakers, they don't want to see the Bulls. You don't want to go to Chicago and play them, all that young energy in that building. And then they're a team that can come up in your building and, you know, they can score. Like, they have Zach LaVine's a 35, he's a 35-40 clip when he got it going. So, yeah. They're a team you don't really want to see. I think Chicago's going to surprise some people this year with how well they can score the ball and play up tempo and all that.
Yeah, I do like Chicago's roster a lot. You said a bunch of buckets and, like...
Yeah, and I wrote down Miami, too, as a surprising team just because I think they'll be I think Miami will be really good. Like, I think there will be stages in the year where they're playing really good basketball, and I think they'll end the year really well too. Just because I think Jimmy Butler now has something to prove. Okay, like, I made the move to leave, and maybe I may believe in a contender, but you know, I can be the top dude and lead somebody to being a contender. You know, so I think, you know, Miami will be a team that, you know, opens some eyes this year too.
Word. All right. So that is the first segment. First episode of season 3. We're going to take a little commercial break, get back at y'all with the awards, little birds talk, and then we'll close it out. TNT Hoops. All right, so we're back. We're going to touch on some of the awards for the year. Most Improved Player, Defense Player of the Year, MVP, obviously, Coach of the Year, yada, yada, yada. So, Quiddy, I'll let you start with MVP. Who's going to be the most valuable player in the NBA this year?
MVP. I think the guy that gets most disrespected in the league as far as his constant productivity, it's actually kind of insane. I think James Harden's going to win MVP this year. Interesting. I think he'll his numbers will be insane. I think he'll score a ton of points, like I said earlier. He'll be in the 35-36 range again. I think Harden is one of those guys that, you know, focuses on his craft so much, he adds something new every year. Although we were talking about that side step three, and is it a good shot or a bad shot or whatever.
You don't think fatigue is set in, though, with Harden?
I think he's an offensive mastermind, right? I don't think his game takes much. I know, obviously, he makes it look easy, but I don't think he exerts much energy just because he's mastered, you know, what he is and how he's going to be effective and what spots he has to shoot a step back three. Like, he's a 40-piece waiting to happen.
So what does he have to do this year? Because he didn't win it last year, and he had... what, 38 game? So what does he have to do this year to win MVP?
So my runner up was, you know, is going to be like LeBron, Steph, like they'll be the three. So when you say what do you have to do this year, I think the NBA is the MVP. I've said this on multiple occasions. It's just a storyline type thing in the NBA. Like, a lot of guys have good years and then they pick the best story, like the best, what's best for the NBA as far as.
What could he do that was better than last year? Like, I'm not trying to step on your point, but like, yo, what can he do more than he did last year?
Well, he should have won last year. I told you this already. He should have won last year. You can't, like, but if he has that year again, like, Giannis has to repeat what he did, and the Bucks have to be the one seed. I don't think that's going to happen. So, the Bucks were being the, like, he had a better year than Giannis last year. The Bucks being the one seed and that being Giannis' emerging season in the NBA is the reason Giannis got the award. Yeah. So, I'm thinking, I have Harden repeating what he did last year, you know, over what Giannis will be doing. I don't think they'll give the MVP to Giannis again, like, off that same year. It's kind of like the same type thing that happened to Westbrook. I don't think, you know, it's just not that same story. It's not as fresh. I think Harden just dominated. People are just going to wake up and say, okay, this guy is scoring 36 points a game for two straight seasons. He's going to be, like, I think that's what's, it's going to take him over the top, and he's going to be the MVP this year.
Okay. So for my pick, I took Anthony Davis. I think the NBA has been wanting to kind of push him into the limelight for a little bit. Like, they tried a little bit in New Orleans with the whole Brow campaign, and it was just tough because he wasn't winning playoff series. And even you saw when they bombed on Portland 2 years ago and swept him. Anthony Davis, like, it was just a bunch of Anthony Davis is the best player in the league talk, yada, yada, yada. And I think this year with LeBron, like, when LeBron – he's one of those players I take his word for everything. Like, it's crazy because he even just came up on the screen. He said he's trying to, like, help Anthony Davis win the MVP award this year. And he's never played with a guy like Anthony Davis. Chris Bosh was great. Like, don't get me wrong, but he was nowhere close to what Anthony Davis could do. Like, just as from the high screen role to pick and pop to even, like, catching in the corner and going to work. Like, Anthony Davis is one of the best talents LeBron's ever played with. And he's just going to, I think, LeBron can be having nights with like 14 assists and like 8 of them go to Anthony Davis. Like, okay. On multiple nights. And I think just this, like, the NBA wants to give it to a new guy. Like, he's the guy that can fill the stat sheet enough. He just has to stay durable. So,
yeah, that's what I'm going to knock with AD. The talent's there. Yeah. He has, like you said, playing alongside a guy like LeBron James, arguably the best passer to ever play the game.
Yeah.
He can flourish, but I'd have to see, you know, the durability that he can play, you know, 65, 70 games dominating.
Bro, you know. But he did, like, so think about 26, 12, 4 and 2 without LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
It only gets easier. I guess it's one of the, like,
okay.
And
yeah. What would you project his numbers to be since you said that? Like this year, what do you think they're going to be for him to be MVP? Because Harden's scoring 35 a game again. I'm telling you that straight up.
It's the moments. Like, I think in LA, like, you're going to see a lot of like crazy lot. Like, he, I think it's going to be 28-10 because he's not going to be. I don't think he's gonna have to be around the glass as much. Like, the team's a little bit bigger.
You overthinking it, bro. I'm not. Average more than 10 rebounds.
All right, yeah. All right, so,
like, come on.
Right, so 28-11, still gonna get his like two blocks a game just because he's great around, just loose shit around the rim. Yeah, and then already shot 33% from three. I think he's gonna shoot the same thing.
Okay. That's your pick.
My runner up, Steph Curry. 5-1 odds right now, and Joel Embiid, same thing with Embiid. Embiid, if health is there, and I think this, if everything we think about the Sixers is true, like, the NBA loves giving it to personalities and new guys, and like, if you know, like, you may not get many more seasons out of this Embiid, like, they may just give him one now just to kind of, oh, the best big man in the game, like, it's just, it's perfect. But all else has to, you know, be equal and go well.
Okay. Yeah, my runner-up was, like I said, Steph and LeBron. So,
yeah.
We talked about what they'll do this year. So, let's move on.
Yeah, long shot, though. Ben Simmons, 96-1, if you think about it. So, defensive player of the year.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah, same. You want to run down as to why he's defensive player of the year? I think it's just...
We touched on that. I mean, he... Gobert gets denied every year because he's not as skilled on offense, and yeah. You don't really focus on Embiid's defense as much just because of how dominant of a player he can be on offense.
Yeah, and a part of it too is you have to give an award to Utah. Like, people don't understand this with the NBA, like, they gotta spread it around. Like,
right.
Like, if you give all the awards to just guys in the top six markets where most of the best guys are, like, it would just be no, like, not quote fun, but like they have to do shit like that. Like,
yeah, for sure. So I think Embiid wins it this year after Gobert's won the last two.
Yeah.
If Embiid plays 65-70 games, that's always what I say. That's like the range you have to play to, you know, be eligible for these awards.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think, you know, with Al Horford being there and just with so much length on our perimeter, anything that comes in the rim would just be easy for Embiid to, you know, protect just because you have so many versatile defenders, you know, around him.
Yeah. A lot of tough shots going up at the rim.
Right, and he'll anchor the best defense in the league. Like, think about, we were, you know, a top five defense with Covington and Saric and Redick,
yeah.
You know, and Ben. Like, we were still guarding, you know, with Embiid when Embiid played. You know, now you're putting real defenders around him, real athletes. I think he'll flourish even more just being that anchor on the best defense in the NBA.
And it helps with his, like, I know this is not with defense, but just with his going into the fourth quarter, like, him not having to expend as much energy covering up the mistakes of a Covington or T.J. McConnell, like, there's going to be just fourth quarters where we saw last year where he was, like, dominating fourth quarter, like, 14 points. Like, we could see more of that this year. Mm-hmm.
He won't be all gas, like you said, and obviously he's lost some weight this summer. He looks noticeably slimmer,
heavy,
so that could be great for his conditioning. So I see it. You know, we see it happening. What's the next one we got?
Rookie of the year. Some sad news today. Zion Mills Williamson.
All right, man. So I'm just acting like he died, bro.
Like, I'm acting like it is sad because that was...
He tore his meniscus. He'll be back. Like I said, he'll be back 4 or 5 weeks. Though Zion's ahead of schedule. They said, 6 to 8?
Anything Quiddy talking about, whatever.
I think sad news. Like,
I think Ja takes over the storyline for the first 8 weeks. Memphis will be bad, but... it'll be fun to watch him and Triple J.
Dylan Brooks. Like, he's just an exciting player. Like, and this, I think about awards, just like what the NBA wants to give to us. It's just a highlight factory with the numbers. Memphis is a good market for basketball. They want to build that back up.
So you got him winning rookie of the year?
Yeah.
John Morant?
Yeah, John Morant.
Okay, I have Zion Williamson winning the rookie of the year. I think he'll be back, like I said, in a few weeks. He's an ultra athlete. I just know when he's... This is barring, obviously, another injury or whatever if he can't maintain, but I just know what I'm getting out of him, so that's just going to be my pick. Yeah, I know when he's playing, he's going to be in the upper 20 range.
If he's healthy, then yeah.
Shooting efficient, 10 for 12. You know, he's everything around the rim, shoots a three when he has to, aggressive in transition, can finish above the rim, obviously, at all times, catching lobs, taking it himself. So that's my pick. If he, it's just a meniscus. I don't think meniscus is... obviously you want to be you want to be cautious with him.
But that's what I think they're going to do. I think they slow walk it, like we talked about this a little before. They just...
he'll play enough games. He'll be fine.
Billion-dollar asset, man. Like, they're not going to... I don't know. There's no point of bringing him back in 6 weeks, even if he's capable of going in 6 weeks. Like, why?
Like, I feel you.
Give him the full eight, give him the 12 if he wants, or like if the doc, I don't know. They're just going to... I think be super cautious, especially given that the Pelicans medical... This is what I wanted to say. The Pelicans medical staff is taking a ton of heat with that AAD stuff with Drew. All of that heaped on. If they screw this up with Zion, there's no bouncing back from this. No player is gonna ever want to. That's a huge thing. So that, I think they just slow walk it. Coach of the year. Next one. I'll let you go first.
I think we both have Brett Brown. Yeah. I got Brett Brown. Yeah, that would be. Brown, I think it's been a tough go for him. It's been a rocky road just because he took over a tanking team, a team that wasn't trying to win, but you're still trying to develop a culture and develop, young guys to know, develop your culture. And I think he's done that over the years, and he's had talent. Once Embiid and Simmons started playing, they're both so talented that they kind of mask, the inabilities of guys around them. So, we've kind of been, expecting a lot from the Sixers team with, two young guys that weren't battle-tested at the time. They were kind of just figuring it all out and coming up in the NBA, being young superstars in Simmons and Embiid. With Covington and Saric, and Redick, we're talking about, and Bellinelli, and, guys that are not exactly, versatile guys that can kind of do one thing. And we had so many gaping holes in our lineups, and Brett Brown was taking the heat for all of this. And it's kind of like we just don't have the personnel to do it. So now I think we have the team, and he said it's the best team he's coached since he's been in town. This is the direction they obviously wanted to go. I think they, they probably tried to get Butler back in town, but when he didn't budge, it was like, okay, we'll go get a young Josh Richardson from...
Get Al Horford. The same exact price or $4 million more. Just
exactly. Who Elton obviously has been talking to. He's probably been talking to him during the year. How that works. And you go get Al Horford and Josh Richardson. So I think Brett Brown has the pieces now. And I think he'll, make everything work. And he has a lot to work from.
And he does have to make it work this year. And this is the year where everyone that wanted Brett Brown's head, if we... are off to a bad start and are 6th or 7th in the East after the first 20 or so games, then you can start to bring the pitchforks out. But beforehand, what he said, it wasn't warranted, And so this is the first year where you can properly evaluate Brett Brown if he can coach a talented basketball team 1 through 9.
And we both think he'll be that guy, because I think personally, and this is high expectations for Brett, because we all go back and forth as a fan base with him. And we have, but now we can look at it in hindsight and from a clearer view, because he has, like we said, he has the pieces now, to be successful.
It's the belief in him, too. I think that goes on the wayside. Guys like Embiid and Ben, they go to bat for Brett. You never hear them taking, undercover jabs at him and stuff like that. So it's guys that have grown with him and respect him enough to where, I think... maybe the X's and O's, he's not the best, but guys buy into Brett.
His system and what it's just what he and his approach, how he brings to the table. But what I wanted to say is what I think people don't really realize, and kind of the fan base and everywhere else in the NBA, fans all around, is we've won 50-plus games, you know, these last 2 years.
Yeah.
With, you know, two young superstars that are not necessarily, they're still learning. Everything is new to them. Although they're dominating in games and stretches of the season, they're still learning on the fly how to be, you know, superstars in this league.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brett having a chance to now have that and adding in these young guys, I sound like a broken record, but adding in these men, I think he's going to take it to the next level. And now that 52,
he knows how to coach the young guys.
That 52 turns into 57, 58 wins, you know, because you just got, a veteran guy.
And stability, like, this is the last thing I'll say, with stability is, that's the one thing I've started to respect and like, just about how, like, the Eagles did it with Reed when they gave him 14 years and the Sixers are doing it with Brett. Like, you don't just shake the boat because things are going wrong right then in the situation. Like, you have a plan and a goal in mind and you kind of just stay the course, and the Sixers have done that. And so it feels like almost like a fan, like I feel like I almost know Brett Brown in like a weird sense.
Yeah, I can do his acting perfectly. I'd be cracking up doing it to myself just because he's such a personality. Like, he's so like vibrant in his answers. Like, he sounds like he studies these dudes. Like he pulled Thibault in. Like, I don't know if you saw the video, like, when Thibault first came in from Washington, they drafted him, obviously, and he came to the facility, and Brett was, like, working out on the bike. He was like, come here, sit down in front of me. He was like, you God, you know, you'll fit right in with our culture, you God. And I'm just like, yo, this is going to be so lit. Like, we really got a core of versatile dudes.
You don't get that when you just flip a coach, and the next thing you know, you have Jason Kidd, and the next thing you know, Mike Budenholzer. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just...
And he came from Pop, man. That can't be taken for granted. He brought Ime Udoka, and another guy that was in the Spurs system, played for them for a while, coached, you know, in that system. So that we have something here, you know, brewing. And I think, like, we obviously agree that he'll be that coach this year to win it and, you know, take us to that next level. Let's go to the championship. Let's see what happens.
Runner-up, just for honorable mention, Doc Rivers. I think Doc just, he's always shown the NBA that when he has talent, he can coach a team, a very talented team, up to 1-2 seed. And so I think with this Clipper team, his best team he's ever had, and he's just going to do a great job with them.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't really think of, like, runner-ups. I always think there's, you know, coaches that circulate in there, and then they just pick one of...
Yeah.
I never really know who's going to be coach of the year. I think they always... It's always just, like, a random guy out of five guys that are really good.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Doc Rivers will have a good year. I think Frank Vogel will get credit for the Lakers winning a ton of games. I think the coach up in...
He could be gone, Denver, though. Frank Vogel could, like, if the Lakers start off a little slow, Jason Kidd is right there waiting for...
Right. I think Malone will be in the mix. Mike Malone out in Denver.
Yeah.
And I think...
Malone won it last year, though.
Spoelstra will be in the mix. Malone won last year?
Pretty sure. Budenholzer, he did.
Malone was right up in the mix, and I think Spoelstra just get some credit.
The Spoelstra Nostra.
Yeah. So let's move on. What we got next?
Sixth man of the year. I think it's consensus for you and I. Lou Will.
Yep.
+170 odds. That should tell you all you need to know. Like,
He got into some earlier this week. Somebody said that there was a report said that he only comes off the bench because he wants awards, something like that. He's like, that's like an unbelievable, stupid notion, because, like, nobody's ever told me, nobody ever wanted me to start. Like, what do you want me to do? I'm just coming off the bench and playing my role. And I think, you know, he's going to come out snapping.
That's just a foolish notion. If you think, like, like, there's something to that, like...
To be able to come off and just score.
Yeah, to get to just find yourself in the flow of the game. Like, watch the game, just be able to step on the floor. Here's how I fit in, here's how I get my buckets. Like, people don't understand basketball, just think that the sixth man is just the sixth best person. Like, no, in the last 4 minutes of the game, Lou Williams is more likely on the floor.
So we said, we both agree, Lou Williams, and I just want to say one more thing about him. He was saying how he actually likes coming off the bench because... Everybody else is already, like, you can kind of watch the flow of how the game is working, and everybody else out there is just kind of trying to get the feel. So you can kind of judge it as you're going in, and then when you go in, you obviously step just, in. Obviously easier said than done, but that's how, you know, he operates. All right, so we got Lou at six man.
Spencer Dinwiddie is my runner-up.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Didn't think of a runner-up for that, but I like Dinwiddie. I think he'll be a big piece, you know, just because he'll have to match the energy of Kyrie and LeVert.
Yeah. Most improved player, who do you got?
I got SGA.
SGA.
Out in OKC, I think he's like 10, 11 a game last year. I think he'll be in the 16, 17 range, maybe even a little higher. Just with that team, if they don't really compete early in the year, I think they'll look to move Chris Paul and Steven Adams. That's what I was reading some reports. But yeah. I think Chris Paul is going to help him out in a little time he is there. And I think SGA just got, he has it all as a player. Yeah. 6'5", 6'6" guard, point guard. Can score from all three levels, can defend.
Just great around the rim, man. He just got so many, Euro the other night.
Never looks like he's in a rush. Yeah. I think he's my pick.
I picked DeJounte Murray.
Oh, I like that pick. Yeah. Oh, that's actually that's a good pick.
Yeah. Coming off the torn ACL, I think it's just, like, he was like the Spurs. You don't get a lot of peeps out of the Spurs organization, but the way they're talking about him, like, coming out of last year, like, they talked him up crazy, and he played well in the playoffs.
They've got a lot of those 6'5", Derek Whites. They get the, like, diamonds. And I mean, DeJounte Murray went to Washington. He wasn't, like, under the radar crazy, but he wasn't, like, top on draft board. So,
but that just goes to show you, once you go in a good organization, like Chuck Englund, the shooting coach, like, you get guys around that can just develop talent. Like, that's a totally different ballgame. DeJounte Murray's, if he's on the Suns or the –
It is crazy too. Draymond was made a point about that. He was like, these sorry organizations just don't get enough blame. Like, we always hear stuff about the players, like some of these rookies that go in to, you know, go play for teams and their careers kind of go down the drain. It's like, what do you expect me to do? Imagine like a Zaire Smith was on like the Suns.
Yeah.
Like, and he would have to be just trying to play right away, and it's like,
perfect you say that.
It just goes down a drain because it's not a system. You're not playing with older guys. You don't have, like, vets around you. You're not different trying to win. Different
coach every 6 months.
Yeah, like, different coach. You and everybody you're playing with, y'all are the same age. Y'all competing with each other, essentially. So some of these organizations don't get credit for just being, like, horrible organizations that don't improve from year-to-year basis, like, as fast as you need to, you know, to be successful in the league.
It's interesting you say that, too, because, I mean, Draymond Green now he probably sees Marquese Chris and he's like, damn, like, this is what the Suns had over there?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. you really can hoop. Like, yeah, like, so it's just, yeah.
Exactly.
Leading scorer, this will close out our awards. NBA doesn't give an award out particularly, but I think this is important. Like, I think there should be a top scorer. Like, they do it in soccer and they do it in other sports where it's like
the league. So it should be by points or average? Average, right?
Because
a couple years ago, I think LeBron had more points, but Harden averaged more. So maybe Harden missed.
Well, yeah, there has to be a threshold. Like, I think it'd be like 75 games. But, like, average or whatever. But I think James Harden, I think it just, he goes for another year of just 35, 36. It goes down a little bit with Russ because Harden, that's his man, and he's going to make sure Russ is comfortable. So I don't think he goes for 38. 40 again this year, but who knows?
I mean, I think Russ being around can make him score more. I got Harden too. He would be the scoring champion. He just, like I said, he's an offensive mastermind. He seems like that guy that just wants to add something new to his craft every single day, and he wants to be that inventor like he's been talking about all summer. So
even though his new move is bullshit that we talked about, but whatever.
So he can't go out hating like that.
Who's your runner up though?
Steph.
Okay, I got Dame as my runner-up. I think healthy Dame, he's realizing like this. If this Portland team,
big too, but he's not about to score more. I just can't see him scoring more than Steph this year.
He may shoot more though.
Huh?
He may just get him more shots.
He won't. Look at the Warriors team and look at them. They got McCollum. They got some guys.
I get that, but Portland is getting to the point where it's like if we're gonna win, we have to figure out a route to go. Like,
but Dame is proved
where we give a guy.
Right, but Dame is kind of, I don't know. This is why I disagree, because Dame is kind of proven, like you saw in that GM survey, like, he got like 41% of the vote as the best leader in the league. Like, he most improved, like, best leader or whatever. He's found a way to pick his spots, you know, all throughout the regular season, like, not having to score 30 a night. Like, he'll be in a 27-28.
Do you see what I'm saying though? Like, they, like, something has to change though. Like I get
what,
like,
has it, to change if, though. They go to the playoffs every year.
I know.
They give themselves a chance every year playing how they play. So what has to change? But why would he?
If they're trying something new, so that's the whole point is his predictions. If they're trying something new, where it's just like, all right, like, we know that we can definitely coast and definitely get into the playoffs if Dame is giving us this. But let's try to put it in this scenario where we do the same thing they're doing in Houston, where we have Dame with the ball 60-70% of the time, and CJ's going to play off ball. But like when he gets off ball, we're going to let him spin.
So a little bit more than you're anticipating they do.
I mean, I think like it's one way or the other in the NBA right now. Like, if you really want to give yourself a chance at a championship, you have to start to try new things. Like, you're not going to beat the Lakers or the Clippers or the Rockets playing like they did last year, just like trying to fine tune that and get a little bit better. Like, sorry.
I think they went and got deeper and they got Whiteside. They want to get, you know, that pick and roll presence.
Not going to matter.
I mean, you could say it's not going to matter, but I don't think they did that to increase Dame's volume of, you know, I think they want to save those guys for the playoffs when it matters. I think Steph's really going to have to be that guy this year. Like, he has to score a ton of points for them to win games. That's the only reason I think he's going to average more points. Like, he had, you know what I mean? Like, that's just how I'm really kind of viewing it. I don't think Dame, like you said, that's your prediction, like, or that's a scenario you can see happening, but that's much more unlikely than Steph having to score 32, 33 points a game for them to even have a chance.
True. We shall see. Again, very excited, man.
Where the tunes at, man?
Just Timberwolves?
No, I said where the tunes at.
Tunes. We got the Birds review we'll close out with.
We definitely did.
We got to, I guess, bring up some sadness just to kind of close the podcast, but
Fly Eagles fly. So last night, obviously, we saw the Eagles got dominated by the Dallas Cowboys, fell to 3-4. On our last pod, we gave
37-10. Jesus Christ.
We gave a bit of prediction of we both had us winning this week against Dallas. We were clearly wrong there. It's looking shaky here in Philly right now.
Yeah, but what's being a fan if you're not blinded by love, you know?
Like, yeah, I guess. Just I feel you.
But coming to the realization that your team sucks always is just, it hurts. Like, I mean, and I think it's
good. I don't know if we suck, though. We suck right now, for sure.
Yeah, I think.
It's still a very long season. I hate to keep saying bring DeSean Jackson back just because there's so many more problems than just DeSean Jackson coming back.
I hate relying on DeSean Jackson. He could be back for 2 weeks and then gone for
4. All right, like, come on. Let's not do that.
It's not.
He hasn't been here in years. Like, let's not say, I hate relying on DeSean.
That's been the pattern. Like, you saw it in Tampa Bay. Like, he would go out for just, like, 4 or 5 weeks. Since. It's fact. Like, I know DeSean's our man. Like, everybody wants to, like, I love DeSean, but like,
I'm just saying, bro. Best case scenario. I'm not saying he's gonna come back and save the season. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying best case scenario, he comes back. I'm saying there's a lot of season left. He brings some new life to the team. I mean, that happens sometimes during the course of the season. We didn't think the Eagles would make the playoffs last year when Foles took over.
Oh, I'm not writing this off.
From I'm just saying, like, to say, like, we suck, and like, I know we do suck. We suck right now. Like, we're playing terrible. Horrible football on both sides of the ball. But I think one thing Doug Peterson has proven as a coach, I mean, all the X's and O's and the bad play calling we've seen this year, and you know, him not developing the right staff around him to make us succeed and move forward since that Super Bowl, is we've been a resilient team. Like, when our backs are against the wall, like, we don't really, like, back down.
But what shows you resiliency right now?
Like, I'm not here to go back and forth.
It's not back and forth, but if you can't be resilient for a Dallas game after getting blown out in Minnesota, like, there's certain points in the season
where we win next week, what do you say?
We should win next week. It's the Bills. But
no, 5-1. Why should we win? If you say we suck,
we'll get into the Bills game and why we should win, but, like,
I want to get into that now, though. Like, why should we win? If we suck, because they're 5-1. We're 3-4.
All right, so name the team the Bills lost to was the Pats, right? Uh-huh. And name the team the Bills have beat.
You tell me.
The Bears, right? Then they play the Bears.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Jets. You still win. You're as, bro, in the NFL, I'm sorry. Like, we can do the whole record thing, and I'm tired of doing that this year.
It's just not, like, the Bills aren't a good football team. I'm not worried about
you
them.
You are what your record says.
Listen, if I'm a good NFL team, I'm not worried about the Bills. Yes, you are what your record says, but...
But you're saying we suck. So we're not a good football team.
We suck into what we've compared ourselves
to. What we thought. Okay, yeah, to what say we that thought. Then. We okay, were. That's definitely true.
But like the Bills are overachieving. Like,
we were talking,
like, shit right now. Like, it's just crazy. Like,
we were talking one seed, two seed Eagles. I'm talking about, like, get a home game in the playoffs. So we do suck compared.
And
to
so
that.
And why I think that this team is a little scary. And I'm not going to give up on the team by any means. But we've gotten to the point now, like, if you can't respond after getting, like, we got smoked up in Minnesota. Like, that was a really, really, really bad loss. Like, mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins, all I know Kirk Cousins is hot right now, but, like, he shouldn't be doing that to you, to a team.
Like, for sure.
So then to come down to Dallas after your coach, like, and after thinking about it, we talked a little earlier, I respect what Doug did just because you kind of take it on, like, you try to push the confidence in your team. But then now thinking back to it, like, for him to recant his statement after, like, 4 or 5 days, like, yeah, these cats ain't ready. Like, you don't pull back a little bit, like, if you're not seeing something as a coach. And, like, maybe it's subconsciously, maybe he didn't do it on purpose. But for him even to be like, I was having confidence in my guys. Like, we've seen, you know, Big Nut Doug, we've seen him push forward, push the narrative forward. Like, no, we're going to go out and win this game in Dallas on Sunday. So that scares me. And then for us to come in and be so underprepared, like a lot of, like, people like to put it on the cornerbacks, but, like, our linebacking play was terrible.
Well, that's personnel.
And that's
like pride. They got rid of Zach
Brown. Awful, bro. Like, Magruder helped, like, bro. Oh my God. Like, the Tavon Austin play. Right Austin, after the turnover.
Just what Zeke was doing. Like, Zeke is great, but, like, I'm talking about they were doing whatever.
Yeah.
Just getting, I mean, the holes they were getting, and then, like, when they get to the second level, which is at the linebackers, it was over. Even there was a play. Who's their backup running back?
Powell.
Yeah, he
was something, man.
Did you see when he got caught up in the backfield, made, like, three guys miss and got a first 12, down?
12 yard
run. It was insane. Our tackling was horrible.
Bro, but it starts with effort. It starts with effort. And if no one's showing effort, like, the X's and O's.
Granted, there was no Nigel Bradham, too, to stop the run and Zach Brown. I know, I'm just saying. Granted, there was all these guys were out. But I'm agreeing with you. Say your point about effort, too, because that's definitely something.
Like, if your coach, like, it just goes to what I said. Like, if your coach goes out and sticks his neck on the line, you got to show up, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
and so you're saying it's more likely than not we just don't have it.
Yeah, like, I just think, I don't think there's enough, I mean, not to be cliche, there's not enough moxie, or, like, not, like, Malk was the guy for a little bit, I think, but Malk has aged a little bit and he's kind of mellowed out. I think that whole contact situation, we talked about at the start of the year, that not being worked out, I think that really has rubbed him the wrong way, and he's kind of just taking a little bit of a backseat. Yeah. Like, and he is a little older, and he has a Super Bowl ring. Like, it's two.
And
it's human nature to kind
human
of.
Human nature. And it's kind of like I ain't about to go too crazy for y'all out here. Like, y'all don't even surround me with anybody. Like, yo, we got all these young kids that are scared on the outside to play corner. We got our D line is old and washed at this point.
Yeah.
Our linebacker play, like, we got a new linebacker playing every week. Like, what teams do? Like, not even so much from guys getting hurt, because obviously Nigel Bradham was out and Jordan Hicks would be out last year.
Think about
as well.
What kind of communication do you have as a safety?
You can't. Like, you're playing with all new guys every week. That's why we have to keep Malcolm Jenkins in a box. And you have that combination with Rasul Douglas, who can't run with anybody. Right. And you got, like,
he can't run with 12 year olds, bro.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, we just don't have enough on both sides of the football, I think, right now to even be a championship contender like we had being at the end of the year, to start the year. But I still think we're a team where, I mean,
we can't make
necessarily
the
give up on a season. Like, we could still sneak in and make the playoffs at 9-7 or 10-6. But the Cowboys have to kind of collapse,
and they do have a tough schedule. But my thing is as to why, like, I don't. And we talked about this earlier. Like, I'm not going to be, like, yes, the season's upsetting. And, like, I don't want to say, yeah, we have Super Bowl, so I'm cool. No, this is very upsetting. But compared to a team like the Pats, who just, like, you see, like, how structured everything is. Like, they're not running into these little problems that we are in week six. Like, this is so bad. Like, I don't think other people in Philadelphia realize how bad. Like, look at Baltimore right now. Like, they're clicking on all cylinders and things are starting to roll. And San Fran, like, San Fran can win a game 9-0. They can blow out the Cleveland Browns. They can go to Seattle and play. Like, so it's just, there are teams out there that, like, have that collective energy rolling around them. And, like, for us to pick that up in week 11, like.
And I think that's one of those things, not to cut you off, but I think that's one of the things that football, that's why I said earlier, you are what your record says. Just because the game is such a complex game where so many different pieces have to be clicking just for one play to work. and every play matters. So it's the ultimate team game. So when you see teams at 6-1, 7-1, and then you see teams 3-4, 3-5, like that's really what they are. That's what I'm saying with the Bills. Like you are what your record says, you know, because there's so many things, so many factors you have to win football games. And I think that's very important because when we saw that, you know, that 2017 team, when we saw that 2017 team a few years ago, like, as the year was going on, we're like, wait, are we really this good? Because we didn't expect it coming in. And then you just keep seeing it week after week after week.
So my man Matt brought this up. We did. That schedule was, like, looking back on that schedule now and, like, how all these teams, it was light. And like, we were balling. We were smoking teams. But we were putting up 34 a game, which is just an aberration. And we also weren't playing, like, we didn't have a first-place team schedule. You know what I mean? And like the Rams was one of our first tough games. I remember we're thinking about like, damn, like this is gonna be the game where we really see how we and Wentz did perform up to expectations.
Panthers too. We beat the Panthers that year. They're always looked at as a team that at least respected the NFC. They did had coming off. They were 2 years removed from being in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Or 3 years. But I mean,
but to the Bills just to
the Bills beat the
Jets, the Bengals, and the fucking the Giants,
who?
Bro.
Who? Keep going. Who else?
So they beat the Giants, Bengals, Titans. Titans are a wash, and the Vikings.
Okay. We got smoked by the Vikings. Smoked. Like, ran off the field.
Oh, sorry. Wait. No, the Vikings was a preseason. The Dolphins. Sorry.
So, yeah. I mean, they haven't beat anybody really good, but you beat who's in front of you. I mean,
so do you think
do you think any team we play in the NFL right now is a layup? Like, we just going to win the game? Like, you still have to win the football game. Like, I don't think we go into a game against
the Jets should be a layup.
I mean, Jets just beat the Cowboys any given Sunday, Jets man. Every given Sunday.
So all right, so here's I think two scenarios.
They won five games.
If we're as bad as I currently think we are, maybe I'm being emotional, and we lose to Buffalo and beat Chicago because Chicago sucks and they have a way. The defense I think isn't gonna play for Mitch Trubisky. I think they got to figure something out.
Yeah,
but best case scenario, we beat Buffalo, beat Chicago, lose the Pats because I think the Pats are just gonna
come off a bye,
and then we see from there. But then again, like I don't think we're a Super Bowl team, like unless.
So then, look, from there you'll be 5-5 from what you just said. Then you have the Seahawks, and then you have a 5-game schedule where it's you can kind
Giants,
of coast.
Giants, yeah,
two Giants, Skins, two Redskins, and one Dolphins.
One Skins, one Dolphins, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think?
I mean, if you lose, like I said, if you win this week, this is the season. This week is the season, like, essentially, because the Cowboys are off.
Five losses is...
Man, this is the season. So you win this week, and like you said, the Bears, you get the Bears at home, a struggling offense. Obviously, their defense is good, but hopefully you got some type of rhythm going or something by then.
There's a bigger problem with the Bears right now. Like, I think that Saints loss was bad. Like,
I mean, the Saints are really good, but I don't trust Mitch Trubisky. And
they didn't score. You got to think, like, before that two-touchdown drive, it was only the kick return from Cordell Patterson. It was a touchdown. So they had 3 points going into, like, the garbage time of the game.
I mean, we shouldn't even have scored yesterday if Dallas wasn't giving us those penalties.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying next week's the season. You win next week and you beat the Bears, you give yourself a chance because then you have the Patriots and Seahawks.
Who do the Bears
you always win a game. Week? You always win a game. There's always a game when you're scheduled that you win that you're not supposed to. And then there's always a game you lose that you're not supposed to. True. You already lost a couple games where you're supposedly, on paper, not supposed to. So, hopefully you end the season strong with 5 straight and you go into the playoffs with some type of – and that's the best case scenario. You're going to the playoffs hot.
Yeah, the Bears have the Chargers coming up this week at home. So that I think the Chargers actually win this game because they've lost some bullshit back-to-back weeks. And again, like they can't score. Yeah. So, all right, we've had our birds therapy session. Thanks for hearing us out.
That's a beautiful drop.
Again, man, TNT Hoops, episode 1 of season 3, or episode 25 overall. Thank y'all for listening. Quiddy got any closing words to the people? Want to update them on some contests and stuff like that?
You touched on everything. Season 3, we back. You know, we're going to be back into the vibe, back into the mix this year. Obviously, we got an exciting NBA season upon us. So, you know, we'll be updating y'all weekly how we have been doing. you know, over the past year or so. You know, if you're listening now, thanks for listening. Subscribe if you haven't already. You know, tell a friend, like I always say. Let's keep growing this thing. TNT Hoops. One. Shit, y'all, so that shit sound slight though, you know what I mean? Run that. I was born in 91, product of the dope gang. 50s, Camaros, cuts when we swing, crack gang. You don't even know the half, the stress. Living life so fast.